And to sing the words is a chore. Matthew 20:27 says, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give life, to give his life a ransom for many." Let's bow. Father, there is so much in your word, and if we were to read it every day for the rest of our life and open it up, Lord, we would always find something new. And Lord, many of us, including myself at times, are guilty of not getting into your word as often as we should. So Lord, help us to take seriously every day when we get out of bed our commitment to you, that you gave your life for us, and that we should certainly be willing to give our life in service for you and telling other people about you. And if we're not doing that, Lord, help us to come to the realization that we need to be about your business. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is about winning and losing, right? We like to watch shows about that stuff, like winning and losing. We watch shows like Survivor, or we might watch the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, or Deal or No Deal. And you find yourself sometimes rooting for the person, oh man, I hope they got that case right. He's got the $1 million case up there somewhere. And we find ourselves watching shows like that because life is about winning and losing. And in the end, it is about winning and losing, because there's only two kinds of people in the world. Some will live forever and some won't. And I appreciate what Micah had to say last week. Micah was talking about vagueness, about God doesn't want us to just be vague about what he would have us to do in our lives. And he'd want us to be in our Bibles more. He wants us to be looking more at what he would have us to do. I don't think, as we spoke in the last several weeks about Barnum and his life and what he got, he kind of got out of whack. Well, we're kind of continuing on that, because that's what the Bible is about. It's always about that. There's either you're doing things for Jesus and loving him and living in a way that he would have you to live, or you're not. And so every sermon's kind of similar in that sense. But Micah talked about how we should kind of be in our Bibles more. And I mean, and the whole scripture is filled with stuff like that, where Jesus is saying to us in the book of Revelation, "I'd rather that you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." Oh, there's so many scriptures that go along with that idea. And as I stand up here and talk to you, I don't have it all together. I don't get in my Bible as much as I should. I know I don't. Even though I know a lot of scripture because I've studied enough, and so many people of you here, there's no excuse not to get in your Bibles more and to be looking at it and saying, what would God have me read today? So in order to get to the point where we say, well, what am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to be living? What am I not supposed to be doing? And that's where we're going to start today. What are we not supposed to be doing? Who are we not supposed to be like? And I think that Jesus makes that clear. And it was in I can't remember if it was in Sunday school or Wednesday night, but I had received a link that somebody had sent me, or I'd seen on social media or something, and it was the scene of Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Now, as you read this scripture, if you go to Matthew chapter 22, at the end, Jesus had just got done having a large conversation with the Pharisees. That's where the Sadducees tried to trick him and say, hey, this guy was married to this woman, married this guy, and then he died, and this guy, and then he died, and so on. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And they were trying to trick him. Well, we go right into chapter 23, and we see that Jesus is speaking to the crowd. But since they're always trying to trick him, since they're always trying to find fault with him, the Pharisees have to be there. They have to be somewhere in the crowd. So Jesus is speaking, and this is going to be a lot of reading. And when we get to the certain points, I want you to close your eyes, and I'll probably even say close your eyes. And I want you to listen to the words of Jesus as he And I'm going to try to say him in a way that I think that the video that I saw depicts how he said him. I don't think Jesus was nice in these words. So if you're following along in Scripture, because it will not be on the screen, we're starting with Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. I don't know if it's the same thing, but it used to be that they used to put little shoulder pads in women's clothing, and their shoulders stuck up a little bit more. And it makes you wonder if they weren't putting something in their garments to make it look like they had broader shoulders. And they wanted people to notice them. It goes on in verse 7 and says, and greetings in the markets. Oh, Rabbi Jones. Rabbi, well, his last name wouldn't be Jones, most likely. They just love to be addressed and feel important because they got on their, they make themselves look special. They got on the nicest hat, something that draws attention to them, and they're in the marketplace, and Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he shall humble himself shall be exalted. Close your eyes. Because Jesus is... But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in are yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And then he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whatsoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whatever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind. For whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whatsoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind. For whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not leave the others undone. Ye blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whitewashed sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered my children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings. You can open your eyes. Behold, your life is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall see me, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Here he is in Jerusalem, I'm not sure where he's at here, sorry. I believe he's in Jerusalem, and he's going to leave, and he's going to come back shortly after and die on a cross. And we're coming up on that time where, in just a few weeks, where he triumphantly enters Jerusalem. And these words he spoke right here, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Remember that? He came in not too long after this story, and people were laying down palm branches and singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. He prophesied himself of that very thing that was going to happen just in a little while. And we're going to be celebrating that time. And even though it's probably not the right word, we're going to be celebrating Jesus' death and resurrection. And maybe it's the wrong word, but that's what it is. It's a celebration. Jesus didn't have to go to the cross, but he did. But in order for us to see where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to not be doing, we have to look at what Jesus said to those Pharisees. They were putting on a show. It wasn't about God. They didn't love God. If they liked it, Jesus even told them that you guys like to think that if you were back then when the other prophets, if you wouldn't have killed them, sure you would have, because your own fathers are the ones that killed them. You're no better than they are. And he pretty much told them that they're pretty much going to be condemned to hell. And we do know that, we don't know how many, but we do know that possibly Nicodemus and came out of that mess into a different kind of life after Jesus was crucified. I'd like to think that Nicodemus stayed on that road and didn't didn't kowtow to pressure from his peers and go back into their nonsense. But Jesus is telling us today that we too need to be on alert. We too need to be looking to make sure we're not being hypocrites. That we're not just coming to church and this is the most of our duty right here in this place. And I think a lot of us in our life have been in that boat. I've been in that boat. I came to church because my dad was a preacher. I was doing all sorts of things in high school and stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. And once I got past being in high school and in the workplace, I was still doing things I shouldn't be doing. I was going out with my friends, drinking on Fridays, getting drunk on Friday night. Not all the time. It wasn't a regular occurrence. But it was an occurrence enough that it wasn't right. It wasn't godly. It wasn't putting Jesus first. We're going to have the sermon a little backwards today because we're going to jump backwards in time to chapter 20 of Matthew. We could have started here and went forward, but I wanted to talk about what not to be like. You know, Jesus said so many things to those Pharisees. If you go into a, how many of you ever, I don't know if you want to use like, how many like to go into a cemetery? It's interesting in some, especially some of the older cemeteries in the country to go visit them, especially when there's people buried clear back in the 1600s in some of these cemeteries. But when you go into some big cemeteries, there's those buildings, those, what do you, mausoleums, coming from the deputy coroner. And they're beautiful, right? But Jesus even made mention to the Pharisees that they're like whitewashed sepulchres. They've been, you've taken the got the bleach out or whatever and whitewashed them, made them beautiful. But inside are what? Dead bones. You're like that. You make yourself look good on the outside. Oh, everybody in the church believes you're, oh, nice Christian Joe. Hope there's nobody here named Joe. Nice Christian Joe. And Joe's outside living it up outside the walls of the church. He told us by speaking to those Pharisees, they had to be standing there. He had to know they were still looking for things to blame him for or things to catch him in so they could use it against him. And they didn't really need anything. They were going to put him on a cross anyway, regardless of what they found. If we go back to Matthew chapter 20, we read it at the very beginning where Jesus said, "And whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." But before we got to that point, Jesus was sitting there. It says, the mother of Zebedee's son came to him. We know this is important, what Jesus just got done telling the Pharisees. And I'd like to know what went through the minds of his disciples as they probably stood there and listened to him speak to the Pharisees, especially these disciples. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" I could not imagine being in school and I'm getting maybe not so good of a grade. And my mom comes to my teacher and asks on my behalf, "Please help my son out. Please give him a better grade. He's such a good boy." I don't think she's ever had to do that. Matter of fact, I'm positive she hasn't. But it would be so embarrassing to me, I think, to have your mom have to go to school with you and try to talk to the teacher on your behalf. But here, James and John's mom comes to Jesus, and he says, "What do you wish?" She said, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able?" Here he is. My mom again. Mr. Younger, could you give my son an A? He's really A-worthy. And Mr. Younger looks at me and goes, "You're going to start doing your homework? You're going to toe the line?" "Yes, I am." Similar question, but not related to homework. Jesus looks right at those two disciples. Mom is here with them. I can't imagine if they weren't a little embarrassed. Maybe they weren't. "Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" Now, they still didn't understand this because Jesus hadn't been able to get to them that he must die. They didn't get it. For the longest time, you can find that in other scriptures. So here he is asking this question. "Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." And he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." You're asking for something I can't give you. Even if you can drink of the cup I'm going to drink of, even if you can be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with, I can't give you what you're asking. It's not mine to give. And then here is the part that is the most important that kind of points forward to this, what we just read about the Pharisees. "And then the ten heard it. They were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant.'" We just talked this morning about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. He became a servant. He did a menial task that he shouldn't have had to do, but he didn't come to do something to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now. He came to be a servant. And he's trying to teach his disciples servanthood. So he goes on to say, "And whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." So as Jesus stood there that day and said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." I can't imagine that his disciples weren't thinking, "Man, he just had to talk similar like this with us. He told us not to be like these people. He told us not to be like the Gentiles that lord, the rulers that rule over the Gentiles, and not to be like other leaders who lord over other people. And now he's trying to set these guys straight." But we had this talk a few weeks ago, or a month ago, or however long it was. I like how James and John said, as soon as Jesus asked him, "Are you able to drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of?" "We are able." You have to admire that they answered. They didn't say, "Well, what's that cup again? What's that going to be?" They just said, "We are able." And Jesus let them know that they would definitely drink of the same cup. So we get past the Pharisees, and a few weeks later, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. We'll be talking about it in the future, I'm sure of it. Somebody's going to be preaching on it. "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They had just asked to sit at his right hand and his left hand. And on that day that Jesus was crucified, they would look up onto Golgotha Hill and they would see Jesus Christ in the middle and somebody on his right and somebody on his left. Not sitting, crucified, right next to him. And it just makes you wonder sometimes if they weren't thinking, "Man, we wanted to be at his right and his left, but we wanted to be sitting." But he told us we're gonna drink of the same cup he drinks of. Oh man, I think I know what he's talking about now. And we do know that not shortly after Jesus left, it wasn't that long, James was killed with the sword. And we don't know if John was actually martyred or just abandoned to the exiled to the island of Patmos and just died there. We don't know what kind of death he endured. So I want you to think about these questions this morning as we come to a conclusion. Jesus said to his disciples, think about your own Christian walk today. Think about how you're living your life. We all have room for improvement. Jesus said to James and John, are you able? Are you able to drink of the cup I'm going to drink? Are you able to follow me on the cross or endure a death similar because of living for me? Are you willing to follow God's plan for your life no matter what it takes, no matter where it leads? Are you willing to serve instead of rule? Are you willing to serve before you rule? Are you willing to serve as you rule? In the end, our greatest need is Jesus. It always comes back to him. We are called to follow him. And I haven't always been successful at following him. I've done some things I'm not proud of. What I do enjoy in this church is knowing that different people at different times come up here, whether it be Dan or Micah or myself, Brian, Carter, Elijah, and anybody else that has a story to tell. Every one of you is called to tell your story, whether it be at this pulpit or in the world or to your friends. We're all called to tell our story and our hope in Jesus somehow, some way, so that we can change the life of someone. So personalize it today and ask yourself, Jesus is saying to you, are you able? Are you able to live for me? Are you able to endure whatever comes about your way in life because you love me? We're going to close with a song about needing Jesus.